Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on July 3rd, 2016, and is entitled, Just Counting Time or Making Time Count.
Have my Bible in hand. I've got my bulletin, the BBs. Everybody got the BBs? Bible starts with the Bible and the bulletin. Let's go to the back of the bulletin, opening our Bibles up to 1 Peter chapter 4. I was just taking a look at today, once again, saying, Lord, thank you. I felt impressed to bring a message, since it is our wonderful Independence Day weekend, bring a message about how God just sets us free. I mean, just sets us free in Christ. It's a wonderful declaration. And sure enough, right where we are at in our study of 1 and 2 Peter, this really addresses that. And we're talking about that freedom that comes to us in Christ. If you've been with us, we're going through a series of 1 Peter, 2 Peter, as entitled Building a Forever Faith. And I'm sure if you've been with us, you're saying, man, we finally got out of chapter 3. Yes, yes, we're here at chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. And if you don't mind, I've got my Bible open. Let's pray and let's proceed. Father, thank you for the joy that we've had already to see and to hear things and to declare things in song as well as in prayer. Lord, just open our eyes. We want to see what you have for each individual. And you can do that. You can do that. We trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. What a wonderful thing for us to see from our vets today and our servicemen and women, that they would just recount serving our country in such a unique way that those times, however the length of time was, that you would look at that and say, that was time well spent. That's really what is a real takeaway, spending time that you would look back and say, this benefited somebody else. It may have benefited me, but it certainly benefited our nation. And today we're taking a look at a message here that Peter's addressing to a group of Christians that are suffering, but he's addressing the element of time. And today's message is entitled, Just Counting the Time or Making Time Count. It's really our choice. Are you just making time pass? It's interesting, we have in our vernacular just killing time. Isn't that true? What'd you do yesterday? Ah, man, I just kind of like killed time and just chilled there by the water's edge. But how about if we really want to make our time count? The mathematicians and time managers come up with some of these stats. It's interesting to note that 2 years of your life is spent in your time frame calling back people who don't pick up their phones. They just don't want to pick up their phones and talk to you. I'm sorry, I know it's hard. 2 years of that. Also, they have mentioned that 6 months will be spent at traffic stops waiting for the light to turn green. That's a lot of time. I wonder why some of you run the yellow. I've seen you. I was like, oh no. And they have Hope Chapel handing out heaven bumper sticker frame. Also, there's 8 months that really are spent opening and reading junk mail. How many get junk mail? Yeah, how many just throw it away? Good, I want you fessing up to me because some of you don't even read my emails that go out. I just thought, yes, no. So in the process, 5 years will be spent in a person's lifetime waiting in lines, whether it's grocery lines or Disney line, and let alone standing in line at Disneyland, that's a full 5 years right there, huh? Isn't it? That's an easy one to recognize, but we have these little elements on our wrists called watches. Time's important to us. We recognize time. We count time. People appreciate when the preacher ends on time. I get it. And that we look at areas with which we consider seconds and minutes and hours and days, weeks, years. And reality in this time frame that the average American will live to be 79 years of age. So you could take a look and see if you're on borrowed time or not. But it is worth noting the amount of us that consider time. And today, Peter's addressing some things. He brings in two phrases that he mentions twice in our phrase we're about to read. Time, he mentions time twice, and the will of God twice, and that's important. If I were to look at that, Psalms chapter 90 comes in there with verse 12, and it says, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we might gain a heart of wisdom. And that's important. Many times you and I would just consider, oh, this will be another holiday weekend. I'll look forward to next holiday weekend. If I don't spend it right, we'll get another one. Well, you know, man, time goes quick and you just never know. So when we look at this and consider this, are we just counting time, or we really want to make our time spent count? That's going to be important. Kind of like if I had a big coin, one coin, big silver dollar. I didn't bring it. I wish I did. But if I said, hey, this coin represents your time. So in other words, however you spend this coin, it's your choice. You can spend that coin any way you want. Same with your own time. I mean, we all have the same amount of time today. How are you going to spend that? So we're looking at this. Let's begin with verse 1. Because I have four ways of making time count, and we're taking it from the section of Scripture today in this paragraph. Verse 1, 1 Peter 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also in the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he who no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. We have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Let's look here, four things. First of all, if you're going to spend your time correctly and say, man, how can I invest in that? Number one, resist your sin. That's our first point. Verse number one, let's look at this. It says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. Now, that arm yourselves, that is a military term. That means if you're going out to battle, you get yourself prepared and get the right armor going on. Arm yourself. Get ready. And it says, and have this same mind in you. In other words, it's the same term that you could literally say, get your head in the game. Get your head in the battle. If you're not aware of this, you're in the middle of it, and there's one. Arm yourself. There's a battle, and it's a battle against sin. And you have to determine, how am I going to resist, or am I? So it is interesting to note, with the same mind that Christ had, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So there's, in other words, man, I'm going for God, but there's a stopping here. I'm going to stop. My choice is to stop. So the same mind that Christ, he put it together, did he not? Remember that when he said he was determined to go to Jerusalem? That's in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Jesus set his face solid to Jerusalem. He said, I am going, and I am going to give my life. And that's an important thing when we look at this, because it says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us. What kind of mind is that? Why is sin so bad? Well, man, first of all, it's important to recognize sin is destructive. It's destructive. It destroys people's relationship with God. Check it out with Adam and Eve. They had an immaculate setup. But one setting of disobedience, I know how to work this out better than God. I'm going to go for that fruit. Destroy things and look at the fallout of their kids ever since. And the first family feud, Cain raises up and kills his brother. That's part of the fruit of sin. So therefore, when we look at this, how important is it? Because sin, arm yourself. Jesus died because of sin. That's one of the indications. Why is sin so bad? Well, Jesus died because it killed Jesus. My sin killed him. He recognized he was going to make me and you, and he says, I know one day they're going to hear the message and will respond one way or the other. I'm going to die for them. Therefore, sin killed Jesus. So when we make those times count, what is it? Man, I want to arm myself because I want to resist sin. Sin is destructive in nature. That's what Peter is addressing here. Therefore, sin comes in. Now, There will be times that people will come along and say, well, you know, I'm just not sensing the Lord. You can tell when the Lord comes into your situation, be it here at Hope Chapel or in your place of work. One of the indications is we start to really moan. We weep over sin. That's an indication God's in your midst. If you've not really sensed that in a long time, you really haven't sensed the presence of God. Oh, we know the word that says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But man, there are times, and you've sensed that presence of God that just says, oh, there's something sorrowful, but there's also something very hopeful. We recognize, I want to turn my life around. Man, that is the presence of the Lord. Let's glean that as much as we can, especially here in this arena. Isn't that true? Man, we worship the Lord. He starts coming down. There has been numerous times that we've had individuals come and say, Paul, I'm sorry I left in the midst of your message or during worship. I just started crying my eyes out. And I was embarrassed. That's a good thing. Just cry your eyes out right in your seat. That's the Lord helping. It's very cleansing for that to happen. I like it. I wish I cried more. I love the presence of the Lord, but it's important for us to recognize part of that is the Lord's coming. So our ultimate goal when it comes to sin, man, stop it. Let's resist that. You see verse 1, for he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. And I want you to know, have you found that true? Suffering really helps a person get their priorities straight. Have you found that out? I mean, he who has suffered in the flesh, you start to really take a look and say, okay, man, I want to get rid of these superfluous things. I want to get rid of these things that are worthless and really zero in on priorities, and suffering will do that. He who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Sometimes the party atmosphere says, well, let's just keep it up until maybe the stuff hits the fan, shoots out. Then we realize, well, that's God saying, enough, enough. So it's important for us to recognize, man, how that God's word, and I think it's worth noting too in Genesis 4, verse 7. Remember when God came down and spoke to Cain? And he said these words, if you do well, Cain, won't you be accepted? But if you do not do well, verse 7, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you. Man, that stuff is like something that's like the chicken heart that's beating. Boop, 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 boop. It's waiting. It's waiting. I had a person come and say, you know, I've never had a problem with that. I said, you know why? No, why? Because you've never been offered that stuff. You don't have a problem with it because you're never in that arena. But I wonder what would happen if you were let alone and offered that stuff. And he went silent. Sometimes we don't sin because we've never been offered that stuff. So it's like, Lord, I want to make my decision right now. I want to be faithful to you. I want to be faithful to my wife. I want to be faithful to my family. I'm going to make the decision before the pressure comes on, because if it's a milk toast, I don't know what way I'll go. It's already a sellout. So he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sinning. So what a good way to spend time, right? Man, there's a battle going on. And the battle's for the souls of men. And the sickness is sin. Friends, we all struggle with that. I know I can relate. You can relate. Not easy for me to talk about that. We are all S-I-N positive. Therefore, we have to recognize it would not take much. Therefore, it's important. Number two, how about another way to go about spending time right? Relish God's will. In other words, how about just really enjoying God's will? Let's look at verse 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Now, when we look at that, how wonderful. The best of your time is when you use your time to invest your time in doing the will of God. Just want to throw that out there. The best use of your time. What does that will look like? Well, somebody once said there's two great days that mark every person. The day you were born, and then somewhere coming on, number two, the reason why you were born. You are not an oops baby. There was intention for you. You've got a purpose. And man, I'm telling you, it is sweet days ahead when you say, I know why I was made. If in fact you may not know what those directions or the will is, man, check out in the scripture how important and wonderful that is. Pursue his will above anything or any other area that you would probably go after. I'm telling you, you'll land in the right area. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Matthew 6, 33. So isn't that wonderful? What a great way to spend your time to say, I want to no longer do my old things. Isn't that true? I mean, come on. Have you ever come across that 60-year-old hippie? Like, man, that was like old school in the 20s and 30s. Isn't it time you all grow up? Well, you know, that's just me. Are you really? So isn't it time just to enjoy life and go for the will of God? I'm telling you, it is a wonderful way to live life. And it's not difficult to do the will of God. It really isn't. I like 1 John 5:3. Says we obey his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It's easy. But it does require a person to be born again on the inside. Otherwise, it's really hard. I remember those days growing up in a church, not born again, but I was there. My parents made it. Sure, I was there. There is nothing going on the inside, and I was a bad stinker. But I was at church. So when Jesus came in, then there's something started changing, and I wanted to obey God's word. There's some very clear Bible verses that talk about the will of God. I've passed it on to some people and say, Pastor, what's God's will for me in this situation? You want to know God's will? Yes, I do. If I show you, will you do it? Yes, I will. And I've always used it for myself. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Give thanks for all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So you're going through a bad time? Yes, I am. Can we just thank God for that right now? I don't know. What is there to thank? And who? Let's just believe before you even see the outcome. That's the will of God. In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God. Man, it's right there. It's listed. To know and to do the will of the Lord is wonderful. How about number three? How about renounce your past? We're taking a look at that. So we've seen, how do you spend some quality time, make time count? Third area, renounce your past. Verse 3, check it out with me. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. And that word idolatries, can you see that there? That literally means that idolatry element is that thing that keeps calling you back to it. Whatever that is that's calling you back to it. Could be somebody just walking down the hallway at home and there's the computer monitor. It's calling some people back to that monitor. That's an idol. It's got hooks into a person. And that's what Scripture's talking about. Man, we've lived enough of our lifetime doing this. Wouldn't it be great to start growing up and letting God start to transform? It's a wonderful thing. So we wasted enough time in our life. I know I have, doing bad things in the past. Wasted enough times in my past doing bad things. I know people, according to that list, verse 3, they've made money on doing those things, 9-to-5 jobs. They've made big money doing those things that are listed, a few of them. And then God comes into their lives and they say, you know what? Man, life is not about money anymore. I really want to do the will of the Lord. I don't care if I have to live in a tent. I'm going to do the right thing. But they never have to, because God just honors such a decision. Profound. Some have made choices not to go and take that six-figure job in another state, but my work in a church is much more valuable than making money and having, I'm going to honor God where I'm at because he hasn't released. Man, God blesses them and other things open up. It's a profound way that God works. So we see here, real power is found in keeping life for a lifetime, just doing what's right and being careful, but resist sin, relish God's will, renounce your past. Check out verse 3, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime. See that word enough? Have you ever heard that phrase? Enough is enough. Enough is enough. That's really kind of like, that's enough. Enough. So if you come along, you hear somebody say, man, alcoholic, enough. Person in pornography, enough. Angry person, enough. Bitter person not willing to forgive, enough. Person goes to church and is a hypocrite, enough. That's what they're saying. Enough. Enough is enough. And man, what a great way to live your life. What a great way. How about number 4? Reach the lost. You say, well, that's not my strong suit. I'm really not feeling. But check it out, what's said here and what it's addressing. Let's look at verse 4. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Now, don't tune me out quite yet, because really, isn't it amazing how we need to just express ourselves with our changed lives? It speaks volumes. And that those old friends will say, man, that's just too weird. That is crazy. You want to have some pizzazz and some spark back into your life? Man, just let your life, your good life, and just share Jesus. Share with somebody. Pray with somebody. You will go home at night and say, man, was that day worth living? Something big about that. It's huge. We had need of some extra LED lights, and so I said, wow, boy, Home Depot sells them. Went down there, purchased them, 18 LED tubes at $10 a piece, and the card wasn't quite swiping and a little bit of a mix-up there. And then when it was all said and done, I realized they've undercharged me by $100. And what did I say? Jehovah Jireh, God provides. No, I didn't say that. But I'm walking out saying, you know, that should have been more than just the 100 plus. So I felt like, oh, it's amazing how that little bit of a struggle comes on. You start to rationalize. It's for the ministry. You're all blessed. And so I went and made sure that the lighting worked, and then I kept the containers and took it back just the other day and walked into Home Depot, and I said, hey, you've undercharged me $100. I'm here to pay. And the man said, really? Thank you. And so we talked a little. I said, well, it's actually for Hope Chapel. You know where that is? Oh, I think I do. I said, do you go to a church? I'm not into that stuff. And I had a chance to share Jesus with him. He still wasn't into that stuff. But I'll tell you, he heard a message, short, sweet, and he saw a demonstration. Because I was saying, Lord, what? Why am I going back there? And let's make it count. But it was profound, and I believe that young man really saw and heard some things. But there could be others in your family, if that were to happen to you, they say, hang on to that. Why take it back? It's their mistake. Let them pay for it. And they would come along and say exactly, they'll speak evil, verse 4. In the same flood of dissipation, since you're not running with them like you used to, you're weird. What's wrong? You've changed. And isn't that the way it is in our society? Man, the people don't have any problem if people have just ruined their lives with drugs or wrecked their homes with infidelity or immorality or wrecked their job because they keep showing up with hangovers. Man, they just, oh, man, it's just par for the course. But you start to live the good life. You start to come in and say, man, the impure is now pure. They say, what is wrong with you? And you're putting pressure on me. Come on over here. I remember those times. And God can make those changes just that quickly. Remember my brother Bob. How unique that. Bob, 6 years older than I am. Here we were. How quick the change was with my brother Bob. On one Saturday, he's showing me how to do drugs in my mom and dad's backyard. Then on Sunday, less than 24 hours, he's pointing his finger in my chest saying, you need to get saved. He's like, Bob! You're tripping, boo. What is on with this? Something's happening. Stop. Stop it. And he said, no, you are wrong, Paul. I repent. I remember, here's the brother that taught me how to make all the good bongs in Southern California. And now it's like, something's wrong with my brother. It can be that big of a change. That big of a change. If you've not experienced that, in less than 24 hours, somebody has a radical change. What happened? It's got to be Jesus. They didn't even go through 6 months of some parochial school. Just something comes on, and we start to reach the lost because we live for the Lord. In verse 6, it says, for this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but alive according to God in the Spirit. Just a reminder, as Peter's writing his readers, says, man, there are those that are already dead because of the persecution. They've been martyred for their faith. They've been judged by men on this earth. They've taken them to the shoreline, hacked off their heads. They've been judged, but those same people will come before God, and God will judge them. Those who have died, that's what he's saying, have received a reward from God. Man, that spoke to that crew. That spoke to that crew. So on this day, this wonderful day that we celebrate and honor our veterans, celebrate the freedom we have that was not inexpensive. We thank God because even this gospel that you and I are hearing today, there are men and women today that are giving their life so you can hear something about God's love through the cross. We thank God for them. Those are important people. Many of you in this room have served so well with distinction so that you could have a comfortable environment to say, oh, that sounded good. What a great place to receive help and prayer and support. I thank God for that. And I'm going to welcome our worship team as they come forward. And you close your Bible with us. We want to gear up and just present the opportunity that we have to just ask you, even now while your eyes are closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus, but you just know God's just, like your heart is just coming out your chest. It's just pounding. What a great way to begin right now. Say, Lord, I'm ready to give my life to you. Or possibility that, man, you're kind of wasting your time doing things that everybody else is doing, and you know it's going nowhere. You're taking a big risk. You know you're a gambler. Thinking, oh, I'll get away with it. Will you? God knows. Wouldn't it be great that you just say, Lord, I just surrender my life fully to you. Well, your eyes are closed, but you need the Lord in your life. Would you just raise your hand up and just put it right down? Say, man, I'm ready to give my life. Thank you. Put it down. Anybody else? I just thank you. Go ahead and put your hand down. See those hands? God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. The rest of you praying as well. Just anybody else just saying, hey, I just need to surrender my life to the Lord. It's just really been a mess lately. Thank you. Go ahead and put that hand down. What a wonderful Savior we have. And what a great message today because God really wants to set people free. Great stories of marvelous missionaries that are out there. They're in some really tough places, not much freedom, but they're alive inside. They're peaceful. That can be yours right now. Does anybody else just say, I need the Lord. I just want to surrender everything, nothing held back. Thank you. Go ahead and put that hand down. Wonderful. Well, we want to just pray that especially, and let's pray all together for the sake of these seven hands. Because of what the Lord's doing in your life, in your heart, you who raised your hand, maybe somebody else here saying, well, I'm a little nervous, I'm not quite sure what that pastor's asking, but I know I need God to do something in me. And you know right now God's all over it for you. Would you just surrender your life? I'm speaking to some of you that just sitting there and saying, man, I can't wait to get to lunch. Let's let the Lord trust him. Let me lead you in a prayer. It's a short prayer. God will hear your heart. And let's pray to everyone out loud for the sake of these hands that have gone up, others as well. It goes like this. Dear Jesus, I believe you are the Savior of the world. And I declare today, you are my Savior. Dear Lord, deliver me from these things that hold me back. I want to live for you and experience true joy, true peace, and life forever. And I invite you now, Lord, in my heart to stay forever. Dear Jesus, now use me for your glory. Help me to tell others about you. Holy Spirit, come upon me. Fill me now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Let's just thank the Lord for that. Shall we do that? Thank you, Lord. Dear friends, I am so pumped and so excited to see some of your smiling faces here. Thank God for today. God bless you, everyone. We just sang the benediction. God bless America.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.